Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Down 21-0 in the fourth quarter, they kicked a field goal. Fire everybody. Disband the program.
Oh, yeah, another clank by Carmelo. Oh, that poor Zingit!
I like that, Dave. I'm in foreclosure because I lost my archer.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you back after a week off, which was not intentional from the get-go, but we decided to... our separate ways for a week as we entered Thanksgiving weekend. We hope you had a good Thanksgiving, everybody, and we're back to recap a very, very big weekend in football and preview another big weekend in football, the conference championships in college football, and also some similar developments brewing in the NFL with their division races. It really is a big time for college football all around, so here we go. We start again for another week as we return to you here on the program tonight. We will be joined by Andy in Seattle and John in Connecticut for the on-air picks. Ron in New Jersey will be sending his picks via the text, and we have a guest picker on hand, which we will reintroduce to you coming up. Also, our thanks to Yachts for the previous week's picks. You did not hear him, but he did send in the picks, and in his picks, he went 2 I can't say what he went yet. I'm going to get into that as we get into the segment in earnest. Kind of a weird spot. I don't have anybody called in yet, so I better... hang on for a moment while we wait for people to call. And it's unusual in this case because I normally would be able to recap something and run down something and talk about, you know, sports and whatever and the big game and tell you what happened over the last weekend. I can't do that because I didn't see it. I didn't see most of these games. I was on vacation. And I was not only on vacation, but I was out of the country. I went to the area known as Cancun and the related neighboring beaches, an incredible experience. And really would recommend anybody to go there. These beaches were so good. I mean, I'm used to cold water in beaches, like ice cold water in the Pacific Ocean. Instead, we were treated to the gorgeous local beaches with just powder white sand. And beautiful aqua blue seas of the Caribbean Sea / Gulf of Mexico. Just amazing. So I recommend that to anybody. You ever get out there to Cancun, you will not regret it. You just gotta, you know where you're going. I think that's the key. If you don't know where you're going, it becomes a problem. But most people do, so it's a good time. So a lot to talk about. We will hear from Tom and John and Andy, and then two of the three are now on the line. So let's go ahead and run it all down. So here we go. We had some closure in the Big Ten, but we still have some strange outcomes in the Big Ten due to one team, Penn State. They certainly are fouling things up. They are in line to win the conference, or they are in line to have Wisconsin win the conference because those two are in the Big Ten championship game, and Michigan nor Ohio State are. And yet, the latter two are the ones that are going to stay in the college football playoff contention. Ohio State, by virtue of a win, stays in the top four, and Michigan is not far behind. Washington took care of business. Colorado took care of business. Sets up a beautiful conference championship weekend with a lot of things on the table. We have all the conferences to decide this weekend, and then the bowl selections on the following Sunday. Let's hit it! Football picks week 14, just about the end of our run. We are only down to the final 3 weeks, so we're glad to have you here, and we hope you enjoyed these programs as we covered all the games and all the scenarios for you. So let's get to last week's action. In the picks, Ron in New Jersey had the best week of all of us, going 3-1. Too bad we can't have him on the program to congratulate him, but I look forward to having him back next week. Good job by Ron. And also, going 3-1, guess what? It's me! Dave went 3-1, so that's good stuff. Andy in Seattle was next best at 2-2, and John in Connecticut was next best after that, also at 2-2, so no losing weeks among the regulars. Guest picks, Tom in New Jersey will be our guest picker this week. Last week it was Yachts, and he went 2-2 in his picks as well. So a good week all together for the panel. Here are the standings after 13 weeks. It is Andy in first place at 28-21-1. Ron in second place at 23-25-2. Still that close to getting above 500. John in third place, also kind of working his way up too, as far as the 500 is concerned, 21-26-3. And Dave, still in last place at 20-30. Guest picks are 28-22. And just to repeat, our friend Ron won't be with us tonight, but he sends his best, and he was thrilled to hear about my trip to Cancun, so that was good times. He's been there too, so he told me like how cool it is and all that stuff. All right, so let's get our panel together. And again, our guest picker, Tom in New Jersey, we'll introduce him in just a moment. But let's first introduce our regulars on tonight. We start with Andy in Seattle, our leader. Andy, how's it going tonight? Hope your Thanksgiving was good.
Yeah, Dave. Hey, everybody. Show tonight.
Show tonight.
Dave has a show tonight.
Is there a show tonight? Yep, there's a show tonight. That is right. Then let's also introduce John in Connecticut to the program. John, welcome aboard. How's it going tonight?
Doing well, Dave. Thanks for having me back on. This show was last Wednesday. I was paralyzed in bed with the flu. So feeling much better and glad to be back on the show tonight.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I heard about that. So glad you're feeling better, sir. And now we introduce our guest picker, Tom in New Jersey, trying to build on his unbeaten record in picks on this program this year. Tom, welcome. How's it going?
You are such a jinx. Stop mentioning it.
You're the one that mentioned it. I didn't mention it. You are the one that's been mentioning it.
Stop mentioning it.
All right, Tom. So how's it going? So, look, I didn't mean to do that, but I mean, you did mention that at some point off air. But anyway, hope you're doing all right. How are you doing? Are you staying warm out there?
I'm doing very well, and I'm glad I wasn't on your show 2 weeks ago because I would have gone 0-4 because I had picks ready. I think it was 2 weeks ago you wanted me on. I made some picks for myself, and I went 0-4, so I'm glad I wasn't on.
Oh, wow. All right. So then obviously... Ooh. That just goes to show you how difficult it is to make these picks. So it happens, you know? So let's go ahead and recap last week's action. I won't waste any time. Again, I don't have much to say. So let us begin with Andy. Your look at last week's Michigan-Ohio State game and all the other scenarios from the weekend.
Ooh, scenarios. Well, Thanksgiving week, football galore. You're right. Ron isn't on the show tonight, but congratulations for his 3-1 week. Congratulations on always predicting Kevin Sumlin to just lay an egg once the leaves turn brown, and they are now 8-4, maybe going 5 when the bowl comes around. But it was not too long ago when they were like, I believe, at one point the first. Playoff announcement from the committee. I think they were number 4 or 5 at least for the first one. But, that's what you get with someone. You get the swoon. So Ron is on top of that. LOL Tennessee. Can't wait to read all about them next year. Can't wait to hear how they're going to be a threat to Alabama and the SEC. Goodbye, Charlie Strong. All his apologists are playing all sorts of angles, but, coaching, there's no color in coaching. You could be pink, and if you suck, and if you can't have an offense, I don't care. After 3 years, goodbye. Get lost. You'll get another job. He just wasn't the right guy at Texas. Goodbye, Charlie. Goodbye, Mr. Herman. He's going to Texas. And after Houston basically played their de facto bowl game a couple weeks ago against Louisville, you could sense that they were going to have a little bit of a no-show against Memphis, and that's what happened. I would not touch whoever they play in that bowl game. You probably want to take the other team. John was always the early adopter of that theory. With all the coaching changes that take place in December, you got to keep an eye on that when it comes to their bowl games. Speaking of bowl games, all these shitty ass 6-6 teams making bowls. Fuck you, BC. Fuck you, Maryland. Fuck you, North Carolina State. You pathetic ACC. And Southern Miss. In Indiana, in Vanderbilt, you're all 6-6. We're all going to be seeing them in the next couple weeks with their bowls. Ohio State, Michigan, that was a good game. I'll let you guys talk about it. Harbaugh had a great game plan for 60 minutes. Once that game goes into overtime, though, Jerry and Piscataway, great call by him. College overtime, when you give JT Barrett the ball at the 5 yards away from Tom Coughlin's green zone, I mean, what are you going to do? The dual threat quarterback in overtime is dangerous, and that's exactly what happened. And yeah, Mike Leach, this way to really just take the balloon, take the air out of your own balloon in Pullman Friday afternoon, 28-0 or 28-3 or whatever in the first quarter. Fucking fraud. So it was a fun weekend.
Yep, it sounded like it. So let's go to John in Connecticut for his recap. And you cited some controversy in that Michigan-Ohio State game, too. So I'd be interested to learn a little bit about that as well as you fill us in. So, John, weekend recap.
Yeah, I mean, that was quite an entertaining game on Saturday. You mentioned, Dave, the kind of controversy at the end and overtime where, did Barrett get to the line on that fourth down play? I mean, as the play happened live, I didn't think he got there. I mean, his helmet clearly gets to the line to gain, but does the ball really get there? I mean, you don't really know. I guess it's one of those things where whatever they ruled on the field is what they're going to keep when they go to review, because there's just no evidence either way. And, you know, marking the ball is an exact science anyway with the, you know, how the refs run in and they mark it. I mean, it's not exact every single time, so whatever happened there is, you know, whatever they called on the field is what they were going to call and review. And unfortunately for Michigan, Ohio State kind of pulls it out of a game that they were really dominated in. You know, if it wasn't for the two interceptions, I mean, Ohio State really doesn't score much in the game itself. But I guess you got to give them credit for hanging in there and making the plays when it mattered. But which essentially, I guess, locks up their playoff spot, which it's a little crazy to think about when they can't even win their own division and the conference, and yet they're number two in the country and pretty much guaranteed a playoff spot. And you know, I just find it hilarious how this the committee now, it's, oh, now we only use conference titles in scenarios where teams are very closely ranked and that's like or closely grouped and that's like a tiebreaker. Well, what happened in 2014 where Ohio State completely jumped everyone the last week because they added that Big Ten conference championship, and TCU was knocked down from 3-6 after winning their last game like 59-3 because they weren't the outright conference champion. So it's just the criteria from year to year is just pretty much a joke. They want the big brands and the big teams in there, which is fine. Just come out and say it. The one thing I gleaned out of the committee chairman the other night is he said numerous times that Michigan and Washington were like razor thin close, and that they debated for 2 hours on whether who to put number 4 or 5, and obviously they ended up settling in Washington. So that tells me that they're either very close to putting Michigan in that fourth spot if Washington loses this weekend to Colorado, or they're setting them up for the big champion, whether it be Penn State or Wisconsin, to get in there as well. So we'll see what happens with that, and we'll have to preview the games coming up. But as for the rest of the action on the weekend, yeah, very disappointed with Leach and Washington State. I thought they would show up for this game. I knew they weren't going to win the Colorado game the week before because they were pointing to this game. But they just completely just no-showed. It's a terrible job out of him. Western Michigan continues to roll. I will say it is a complete and utter joke if Navy somehow jumps them and takes that Cotton Bowl bid. That's a complete disgrace. I love the American Conference. It's the, you know, my team is in that conference, so I follow it. It's a very good league. I mean, you can make an argument that it's clearly the best of the non-Power 5 leagues, but Western Michigan's undefeated. They've been dominant all year long, and you're going to make Navy jump them? That would just be a complete and utter embarrassment, in my opinion. But we'll see what happens there. Andy nailed it all, the 6-6 bowl teams, but We'll have to find the worst bowl matchup of the year next week after they announce them on Sunday. All the projections I've seen pretty much calls for the one game that I literally would not watch if it was being played on my eyelids, and that's Boston College, Maryland, and like the bowl in Detroit. That's by far like, the worst game I think I've ever seen. That might be the matchup. Hopefully not. And you're going to have a couple 5-7 teams in this year because they're not going to fill all the bowls. As of right now, it would be 5-7 North Texas gets a spot, which that's pretty sad as well. Still don't understand why Bob Diaco has not been fired yet. Lost 38-13 at home to Tulane. They actually scored 2 touchdowns on Saturday. And speaking, I know Andy just in passing mentioned Coghlan's green zone. Bob Diaco shared us with the that his red zone starts at the 22-yard line. So maybe they kind of gives you a little insight on why their team is so fucking bad that, you know, the head coach has to make it a point that the red zone starts at the 22-yard line. Get this clown out of Connecticut. Please, like, what are they doing? They set themselves up for failure when they gave this jackass a buyout of $5 million coming off a 6-7 season. Where did you think he was going? I mean, unbelievable. Now we're stuck with this fool for another year. The team's going to be 1-11, and there's going to be about 200 people at the games next year. A complete and absolute embarrassment out of the UConn athletic program. I just can't even go more into it. I'm going to get too angry. But regardless, that fool is still around, and he's going to just continue to destroy the UConn athletic program. So as for some other stuff going on, I mean, really, it was just that Ohio State-Michigan game, which was the big news of the week. And some of these other rankings, too, just make no sense to me. How is Tennessee still in the top 25? The whole SEC in general, outside of Alabama, has just been a joke this year. You're going to have four-loss Auburn in the Sugar Bowl, who's lost their last two games and have just looked just like an average team. But, yeah, I guess someone's got to go. So LSU loses to Alabama, and they drop 12 spots that their week. Auburn loses to Alabama this week and drops one spot. It makes no sense to me. And now you have Florida State ahead of Louisville, which was important because they're going to get the Orange Bowl now, whereas Louisville is one spot ranked behind them, and that they beat them by 40 points. Now, granted, I mean, they just lost to Kentucky, so they deserve to fall in the rankings, but still, to have them that close and have Louisville one spot behind, I mean, that was a little cruel there by the selection committee. Those are my rants of the week. We'll let Tommy get his thoughts in too. So those are kind of my quick hitting thoughts for this Thanksgiving weekend in college football.
All right, John. John cooking with gas tonight, and we're going to also say farewell to Mark Helfrich at Oregon, who basically, as John actually said in a previous podcast, took Chip Kelly's players and won with them, but then once he was up to his own players, didn't do a thing. This team was brutal, so I don't blame Oregon for firing Helfrich. And that is it. So they're going to have to move on to somebody new. We'll see who that new person is later on. So now let's go back to Tommy, get your weekend recap of college football and the other scenarios, including the rankings.
Well, John and Andy pretty much summed up everything, but I just want to do a little rant on Brian Kelly. I've defended this guy for years and years. What he did at halftime was taking the team, and berated the team at halftime for 2 minutes, like a clown that he is, was just despicable in my opinion. Do that in the locker room. There's no need to do that on the field to your team. The team has been an absolute disgrace this year, and that's partly because of you, Brian. Actually, it's all because of you. You've been an awful coach this year. So many kids are academically athletically been suspended, all this other crap. Yeah, you had a kid years ago get killed because you wanted to practice with 50-mile-an-hour gusts. Nothing is ever your fault, Brian. I'm sick of defending you. I want you gone. I've defended you for weeks all year saying, oh, we have to keep him because there's no one else who will be as good on the field. Well, I'm sick of you on the field and how you're coaching and how everything is never your fault and how you're always looking to leave. Well, leave, Brian, because no one else is going to take you because you're an asshole. And you're an asshole when you left Cincinnati when they're undefeated. And you left them when they could have had a share of the national championship. And instead you leave your team hanging when you're only there for, what was it, 3 years? You're a clown. I'm sick of defending you. Good riddance. I can't wait until Notre Dame leaves you. I don't care how bad the team's going to be, how bad the program's going to be with you gone. Because you get recruits that half of them can't play. You get two or three a year that can't play because they get suspended for whatever reason. And you use that as an excuse. Everything's an excuse. You're constantly cursing on the sidelines. I'm just absolutely sick of them. I'm sick of defending them. I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
No, that was that's well said, Tom. And I'll tell you, this is the worst Notre Dame team I've seen in a really long time. Like, you might have to go back to like Mike Davey to see the last time that Notre Dame had this bad a record. I mean, they've never really been
the Charlie Weiss team was pretty bad at the end.
But, all right, right.
Yeah, this is pretty bad too. And I've defended the guy constantly. I'm just absolutely sick of having to defend the guy.
Well, I think a lot of folks who follow Notre Dame would be on your side in this because it's been a complete disappointment considering where they were considered to be in the beginning of the year. I mean, this isn't even close
playoffs.
To what people. Yeah,
it's more his personality than what they do and his coaching because I'm just sick of him constantly whining, constantly being like, this isn't the Notre Dame way and all this other crap. Well, you act like a complete asshole isn't the Notre Dame way either. And you constantly, there's always rumors that he's going to leave, And he's making those rumors. And it's been that way for the past 2 years. Oh, he might leave to take this job. He might leave to take this job. Now it's the Oregon job. He's got no shot in hell taking that Oregon job.
No, absolutely. I mean, I don't think Oregon would touch him at the 10-foot pole, to be perfectly honest. We'll see. Now, let's now get to this week's action. And it's going to be a little different this week because this week's action is principally college football conference championship. So there are not a lot of actual games on the schedule. A lot of football teams, their season's already done. USC's regular season is done. Texas regular season, I believe, is done. You know, a lot of teams are finished with their regular season and their pre-bowl season, so to speak. So with that in mind, we'll take a look at some of the games, but we can also use this time to do bowl projections as we were doing preceding this position in the program. So the games of the week are really just like a couple games. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, to help decide the Big 12. That's not a conference championship. They don't have one in the Big 12. Then you've got Clemson, Virginia Tech, which many have said it's not going to be that close a game. And then you have Western Michigan, Ohio, which I think could be interesting, but the Western Michigan is a 19-point favorite. The game I think to watch was going to be the Pac-12 game, Colorado versus Washington. Colorado's defense is pretty good. I'll have more on this in picks. Wisconsin, Penn State in the Big Ten is going to be close. I'm not saying it's going to be good. It's just going to be close. And maybe one that you might that could potentially be better than it looks on paper. Temple Navy, I actually think these are two pretty good teams. Temple had a pretty decent season too, so that AAC championship could be fun. So that's basically it. So we'll go ahead and go to Andy first for his look at this week's action and potentially what's to come in the bowl season afterward.
All right. Well, first, forgive me, Father, I have sinned. I have to admit, I took Todd Graham way too fucking often this fall, and I'm sorry. I have to admit that. And Todd Graham is an absolute clown. And on last Saturday, chasing the night away, Todd Graham versus Rich Rod. I mean, geez, look at your life. But there we were, taking Todd Graham. And man, that's a terrible years for both those schools. So we'll see if either of those schools bounce back. See if UCLA bounces back. But, you know, you need to have some teams have down years for these other teams to kind of surprise. And I know I'm just going on a little rant, tangent here, but and John mentioned how, like, you know, the SEC is, and I like the SEC and I like Alabama, but, you know, the Sugar Bowl is not going to be that great because they're not going to have a good team. And, you know, 2 years ago it was Mississippi State, Georgia Tech. That wasn't a very compelling Sugar Bowl either. And then you're going to, you know, USC is going to end the year just like hot as a firecracker. And I don't know, maybe they'll get like the Holiday Bowl, the Alamo Bowl or something like that. But, man, Max Brown should never have started those games in September. But moving things to this current week, I will be in that Navy Temple game. I will probably watch Alabama, Florida. Here's, again, classic example of how the SEC is, you know, I hate to admit it, but definitely overrated by ESPN. I don't know if it's because of their contract scenario, but, you know, Florida for the second year in a row is representing the SEC East. This Florida team's got zero fucking offense. I don't know how many quarterbacks have started over the past 2 years. I like the coach. I mean, eventually he's going to get an offense there and a quarterback that he can fit. It might even be Spicy Jack Del Rio's son, you know, once he gets a year older. You know, maybe he could be like Florida's Jake Browning, you know, takes a big step this year to next year. But they're just not good. And I know up until that Florida State game, you had some Mongo being like, well, Florida, if they beat Florida State and they beat Alabama, they could cause chaos. That's not going to happen. But I'll have to watch that a little bit. And I don't know if Saban will even bring out the big playbook. You know, he might just be more focused on getting through the game without any major injuries. You know, they could sleepwalk through that game, and they're still going in the playoff. I will also be into that Colorado-Washington game. That's on Friday. I don't like how they moved it back to Friday. The you know, last year, Stanford-USC was on Saturday. You know, in the past, it was on Friday night, but, and now they moved it back to Friday night. I wish they kept it on Saturday, but I don't make the TV schedule. The Bedlam-Oak State-OU, that'll be entertaining. It'll be 4.5 hours long, but it'll be entertaining. I'll be into the Mountain West game. I know Tommy will be into that San Diego State at Wyoming. Here's a little thing that kind of bothered me. Both Wyoming and San Diego State laid respective eggs last week, probably because they had the game locked up. But San Diego State, Rocky Long, is known for his defense, and I believe they gave up 60-something points to Colorado State. And Wyoming, they had the spot locked up, but they let Bob Davie score a bunch of points against them too. Again, why am I watching New Mexico Wyoming on Saturday night? Well, that's just what we were doing. But Dave, you nailed it. It just, you know, first Saturday in September or first Saturday in December, got to watch these games, pay attention. I'll have more on Whiskey Penn State later, and that's about it.
All right, let's then continue on with our outlook of the weekend with John in Connecticut. Your look at this week's action.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're just talking in terms of the playoff, I mean, the two games that you're going to watch are on Friday night, Washington and Colorado, and then whatever happens there, you're going to be watching Penn State and Wisconsin and Virginia Tech and Clemson on Saturday. If you're just watching for playoff implications, those are the three games that are going to have the biggest impact. Even if Alabama were to somehow lose, which, I mean, you know, it would take an act of God at this point for that Florida team to beat Alabama with, like Andy said, they just can't score. You know, even if Alabama were to lose, I think they are still pretty safely in the playoff. So you have to look at to see what happens Friday night, and if Colorado wins, that's going to open up a ton of things on Saturday for possibly the Penn State Wisconsin winner, as well as Clemson at the same time. If they were to lose, that would open up a spot as well. So those are the three games that you're watching for in terms of the college football playoff. Elsewhere, yeah, the AAC game is going to be fun. As I mentioned before, I shall be rooting for Temple just in case. You know, if Navy wins, and you know, I don't want them to jump Western Michigan, who, you know, we're going to assume is going to take care of business against Ohio and wrap up the undefeated season. You know, the Big 12 game should be fun. High scoring, always close games between these two teams. And it's interesting, if this was next year, the Big 12 is going to have a championship game, but it's going to be the top one and the first two teams in the standings. So these two teams will play again the following week for the championship game, which kind of makes no sense, but that's just kind of how the Big 12 is doing things. Then you have that Mountain West game. That'll be interesting. Andy's right. Both teams really clearly were just looking ahead of this game. They weren't focused on playing last Saturday. San Diego State has this locked up for a while, for 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm then kind of pointing for this one. It's a rematch from that game 2 weeks ago. So the weather should be an interesting – you have to see what the weather will be like before you make a wager on this game. December in Wyoming, I imagine it's not going to be too pretty. You got to take a look at that before making a wager there. And then the Conference USA title game, I don't think anyone mentioned that. Should be a lot of points between Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky. So some good stuff there. Then, of course, you have the Big 12 and Sun Belt conferences finishing up their schedules. Besides the Bedlam game, you're going to have Kansas State TCU and Baylor West Virginia are also on the schedule. And then the random Sun Belt games. I think they're going to be having a championship game as well starting next year. So I don't think there will be any of these random regular season games anymore. I think every conference at this point is going to be playing a championship game starting in 2017. So should be an interesting weekend, even though there's not a great schedule of games. But those three that I mentioned are the ones that you really want to watch in terms of the college football playoff.
Yeah, that's a pretty good rundown. And thanks again, John, for the outlook of this week's action. I want to look ahead a little bit to the bowl schedule because we're looking at what could be in the New Year's Six bowls, and I noticed that USC's got a pretty good spot. If Washington takes care of business and beats Colorado, the question for me is Colorado going to end up being in the Rose Bowl or in some other bowl? And I feel like it would be kind of ridiculous it'd be unfortunate if the Rose Bowl committee decided to put USC over them, despite them being pretty, having even records in USC. Well, technically, USC would have a better record, though, because they have the tiebreaker. But it would be kind of a lame situation for Colorado if they didn't make the Rose Bowl despite losing to Washington. So it really depends on how badly they lose. I'm kind of rooting for Colorado to get that Rose Bowl. That's sort of my point. And, Ben, it's interesting,
Dave,
though.
I'll indulge on the New Year's Six scenario, because I've been reading a lot about the projections. Yeah, so Colorado is what? They're number six at this point, or six or seven? And I think they're six, right?
I'll look it
or
up.
Seven, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, and USC is what, 10?
Yeah.
So if we've gone on in the past, what the committees have done, they really haven't penalized teams for losing in the conference title game. So, not for that much anyway. So I don't think they dropped four spots. I still think Colorado is in pretty good shape to get the Rose Bowl if they lost this game. So I still think, they'll take the Rose Bowl. The loser of Penn State, Wisconsin, or will probably get the Rose Bowl. So you could have a Wisconsin-Colorado matchup. Everything I've seen has Michigan playing in the Orange Bowl against Florida State. You're going to have the group of five. Hopefully it's Western Michigan. Western Michigan versus the Big Ten winner, so say Penn State in the Cotton Bowl, and then in the Sugar Bowl you have the Oklahoma State winner against the highest SEC team, not named Alabama, and we're assuming that's going to be Auburn. So those are kind of your projected matchups at this point, assuming all the favorites win.
Right.
You'd have Bama versus Washington for the first playoff game, Ohio State versus Clemson for the second playoff game, then you'd have Colorado versus Wisconsin in the Rose, Western Michigan versus Penn State in the Cotton Bowl, and then Florida State versus Michigan in the Orange Bowl. So that's kind of how it would look if all the favorite teams win at this point.
Those would be solid bowl projections too. And like you, I really want Western Michigan in there. And I did get a little annoyed when somebody wrote, the prospect of somebody playing Western Michigan in the Cotton Bowl. And it's I'd rather see a real team in there. Western Michigan's a real team. They played some good teams this year. This team's a very talented bunch. They've been winning by a bunch of points. It's sort of like the rise that you used to see with Boise State about 10 years ago. So, I don't know. That stuff like that can be kind of silly. And my response is always, let's see them in bowl season. Let's see how real these guys really are, because I think they might surprise you, you know? So we'll see. Let's go to Tommy, New Jersey, and get his look at the bowl season. And that's a good, by the way, John, where does that leave USC at? Probably the Holiday Bowl then after that? Or no, that'd be the Alamo Bowl at that point, right?
Yeah, I would say USC again in the Alamo Bowl against probably the Oklahoma State loser.
Wow.
Maybe even West Virginia, West Virginia as well could be in that mix.
That would be pretty good. That would be a fun game to watch. All right, so let's go to Tommy and get your look at both the conference championships this weekend and bowl projections.
A lot has been said, as John and Andy have both said, that the three games that everybody's watching are both all must watch. I'm even going to watch it on Friday night. I'm going to tell Diane to get lost and watch that Colorado game, big game. Got to watch it. I'm rooting very hard against Penn State. I'm sick of Penn State people calling into Mike begging for his respects for Penn State. Penn State has lost twice. They should not get into the Final Four, or whatever you call it, the playoff unless Clemson loses and the other team loses. I really don't think Penn State has any business playing in this playoff. I'm actually happy that Michigan is 5. I'm hoping Michigan finds a way to get into this playoff. I know they're going to need Clemson to lose, and the likelihood of that, I mean, it can happen. I wouldn't be shocked if that happened, but I expect Clemson to win. I think the spread is pretty high for a reason, but I'm just a couple things that I really want to happen this weekend is I want Penn State to lose, and I do want Navy to win just so the committee goes absolutely nuts and they have to wait like a week and a half before that until the Army-Navy game before making all the selections. So I like a little chaos, even though I'm just an average college football fan. So you'll see I'm picking Navy -3 against Temple in my picks. Just a little heads up. But John did a great job with all the matchups, and he really knows his stuff. And it was a good 5-minute rant by him, and I learned a lot. So not much left to say, but I'm actually looking forward to bowl.
You got low energy, Tommy.
I'm looking forward to bowl season, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing if my boy Lamar can win the Heisman.
Right.
But we'll see.
You know, that Houston game is going to be a tough spot for him, though, because I remember how bad things were in the Houston game. I didn't know that he lost to Kentucky too, but Lamar Jackson had been playing as high level as anybody this entire season. Sorry for that old guy, man.
I love how Mike hates him for some reason. He gives him no respect whatsoever. Probably because he doesn't throw the ball that. I mean, he's not very. He's an option quarterback. He's not going to throw the ball like 40 times like Andrew Luck. So,
right.
Mike strictly likes throwers.
Yeah.
So I really shouldn't be surprised, but for some reason Mike can't stand him. Yeah. I don't think Mike's going to have him on his ballot. Too.
Yeah, he's not a fan of the running quarterback, I think. That's the thing.
I don't think Mike's going to have him on his ballot.
Wow, not even on the ballot. Well,
no, it sounds that way.
Yeah, it does. You know, it was very interesting because on my way home from a vacation, I was wondering about the Heisman myself. I'm like, who's going to get it? And I thought about Lamar Jackson. Another guy I thought was Jabril Peppers in Michigan. I thought that would be a good choice. Our friend Ron in New Jersey did say that scouts were not big on him. On Peppers, and I thought, wow, not a fan of his ability to defend in the open field or something like that. So
really, I've heard everything but that.
Well, that's why I was so weirded out by that comment. I'm like,
I heard he's a top 5 pick, like it's a lock, because he could pretty much play offense or defense.
Yes,
he's pretty much Charles Woodson all over again.
Yeah, he's good. I think he's terrific. I'm not really sure what the scouts were looking at. Maybe these is just a couple of scouts and it's not the overwhelming opinion, but certainly that comment was surprising. I'm not sure if you guys saw the post from Ron today, but But definitely thought that he was going to be a real talent in the NFL. But again, that jinx is always very powerful. I have no idea at this point for real what would happen. So we'll see.
He would take him in a jet uniform in a heartbeat, Dave.
Probably. Anyway, what were you saying, John?
I was going to say, what about your guy, Adoree Jackson? I don't know if you saw the game on Saturday, but that hurdle that he had on that kickoff return was just unbelievable. That guy's a special player. I mean, he would definitely get one of my votes. I wouldn't say I'd vote for him to win, but he'd definitely be on my ballot. That guy's just an all-around player.
I was really hoping he would make the selection. Like, I hope he would make the show, because he absolutely is right up there. I even said, like, when we were talking about the USC-UW game, when we were previewing that, I said, Adoree Jackson is basically another, maybe less smaller-scale version of Peppers. And I wouldn't even say smaller scale at this point. You're right. I mean, he's been playing really well this year. And dude can do it on both sides. It's almost the same player. It's just like West Coast version and East Coast version. You have Peppers. So definitely, he's really made a difference this year. And as I said about Peppers, Jackson is in on almost every play because he plays both sides of the field. So it's exciting. Hopefully he can at least make it in the nomination list, and it'd be give me a pretty good reason to watch the Heisman this year. I think it'll be fun to watch, and hopefully he gets it. You know, we'll never know. I mean, he certainly has every right to be in the conversation. So, love it. All right, let's get to the picks. And again, Andy is our leader, but last week it was Ron in New Jersey who had the best week, so we will go to his picks first from our group of five persons tonight. So we start with game number one from Ron, and he selects the conference-leading Washington Huskies in the Pac-12 championship, giving 7.5 versus Colorado. Game number two is the next morning. He goes Navy -3 versus Temple in the AAC championship. So Ron in New Jersey's week 14 college football picks. Pretty good picks, I think. And I say that because as we go to my picks next, I have an interesting situation here. I swear I made these picks before before I got Ron's picks over the text. We're checker and a checker with both games. So we got Washington -7.5 versus Colorado.
Oh, boy. There's no way I'm going undefeated this week, boys.
No. Oh, man. And I'll tell you what.
Andy, text me a game real quick.
you know what's going on. There's six games that you can wager on. You know them all.
So anyway, that's one of the games. Game number two, the second checker on a checker with Ron, Navy -3 against Temple. And maybe that may give hope to the Owls because of my track record this year in picks. So once again, for week number 14, Dave has Washington -7.5 and Navy -3, week 14 college football. All right. So again, like you guys said, there's not a lot of games, so we will probably have some checker on checkers anyway. So we go next to Andy in Seattle. And Andy, when you're ready, we will get your picks for week number 14.
I'm Oklahoma State getting 11.5 is really appetizing. I'm probably going to play it on Saturday, but I'm not going to play it on the podcast scenario. That's confirmed. I'm not going to play it on the podcast scenario. But for game number one, I'm going to go anti-checker on a checker. I'm going to take Colorado getting the 7.5. I think Washington might get tight here. Now, Washington got tight their first big test of the year, which really wasn't a big test, but at the time it was a test. It was their first road game at Arizona. Arizona sucks. And Washington had to beat them in overtime. Then their other test was Stanford, and they killed them because David Shaw's a piece of shit. And then they finally beat Oregon for the first time in years. And then the next test was USC at home. Game day. Utah was a big test too, but the USC game, they just could not get anything done offensively. They had some turnovers. USC did enough things well with the ball to just get UW out of their element, because they're not used to coming back from multiple possessions, and that was a disappointing loss for them. And last week, you know, they've owned Leach for the most part. So, you know, that rivalry game, you know, the Dogs usually have their way with the Cougars, and that was the case last Saturday. And I know they've got everything to play for this week, but, you know, this Pac-12 championship game is in this in Santa Clara, it's you know, it's going to be like half empty. It's a weird environment. I know, and there's a lot on the line, but it's just there's not going to be like a lot of juice in the building, no matter how hard. I think if it's on Fox, Gus Johnson is going to try to generate the atmosphere juice. But I mean, we'll watch it and we'll be into it. And obviously, it's a big game, but it's just going to be a weird vibe in the building. And 7.5 is a lot of points. I feel that they might just get a little tight. I'm rooting for them to win. I think Colorado's just going to hang around. 7.5, I mean, backdoor wide open. Colorado's been very, very good against the spread this year. Their coach is a keeper. They were patient with him. I think they gave him, this is either his third or fourth year. The program, this podcast program, John's old podcast program, was well aware of this guy when he was coaching San Jose State all those years ago, and he left the bigger and greener pastures out in Boulder. So it's a big game for Colorado. Back door will be wide open for him, I think, and we want to watch a close game on Friday night. So give me Colorado getting 7.5. Game number two, I'm not going to actually watch this game. I'm going to try to be getting booty instead, and that's the Big Ten game. Wisconsin, Penn State. We're going to take Wisconsin, this piece of shit, boring ass team. I mean, all of us
fuck
hate
Penn
Wisconsin.
State.
Here's the thing. We have actually, I think, I looked today. Wisconsin is, they're 9-3, or they're 9-2, and depending on what your line was, last Saturday when they played Minnesota, you either won or you pushed. So they're 9-2-1 against the spread this year. Problem is, after betting against them against LSU that first game of the year, and then taking Akron, I think that was week 3, I did not watch another Wisconsin game for the rest of the year. And, I mean, the Wisconsin Mongo is probably got his Christmas shopping taken care of. They take Wisconsin every week because they do not beat themselves up. They're fundamental, just like the basketball team. They played Michigan tight. They played Ohio State tight. They're just fundamentally sound. And you're only giving 2.5 to another nondescript, boring team in Penn State. So I will make the bet on Wisconsin. I expect them to win. I will not watch the game. Call me a bad fan. I'm just being subjective. This is stubborn. I just cannot waste my eyesight on that game. But I will bet on Wisconsin. And on Saturday night at 8:45 out on the West Coast, I will look at my phone and we will either bink or bunk on Wisconsin for game number two. Wisconsin giving 2.5. I think where's the game? With Lucas Oil Stadium in Indiana. And then the first game will be the Pac-12 Championship, Colorado getting 7.5.
All right, thanks for the picks, Andy. I keep wondering where all these Big Ten teams are going to go, and John outlined a lot of that very well. I do think it's pretty shitty that Wisconsin's most likely going to the Rose Bowl. It's just like, come on. I mean, you have all that hoopla and pageantry, and it's for that team. I mean, that certainly will make it very easy to root for the other half of that matchup. So let's go to John now for the Week 14 college football picks. Whenever you're ready, John.
All right, Dave. We'll even it out 2-2 with that Washington-Colorado game. I'll go with Andy as well and take the Buffs, getting the 7.5 points. You know, as he said, they've just been an incredible team against the spread all year, 10-2. And Saturday against Utah was like the first game they haven't covered in, you know, in quite a while. I can't even remember the first game that they didn't cover. I'd have to go back and look at their scores, but and they really should have covered on Saturday against Utah. It was kind of one of those backdoor scenarios. Backdoor. They left a ton of points. Yeah, backdoor, and they left just a ton of points on the field in the first half. So regardless, they've been very good against the spread all year. They have the best defense in the conference. Their quarterback is really coming to his own, Lufau, and they're just a tough-nosed, well-coached team, and I'd be very surprised if they got blown out in this spot. I'm not going to go and say that you're going to outright win this game, although I kind of would like to see it just for the chaos that might ensue with the college football playoff. So, you know, kind of a part of me is rooting for that, but I definitely think this will be a very close game, and we'll take the 7.5 points to Colorado for game number one. I do see there's an element of Washington maybe getting tight here as well. They've obviously had a great season. Their offense can be very explosive, but we've seen it in a couple games where they don't really get off to a great start, and you know, it'll just be a competitive game throughout, and I can see that happening here. So we'll take Colorado with the +7.5. Game two, and we'll take a game no one's touched on yet. We will take the Conference USA title game, and I'm going to take Western Kentucky -10. It is a decent amount of points for a conference title game. However, this game is being played in their home stadium. They've absolutely just been rolling the last month and a half or so, just destroying all the weak non-Conference USA teams. I think they've been winning by like an average of 4 touchdowns a game. So they've been really rolling. We picked them to win the conference before the season, even without Brandon Dowdy. I mean, their system there is just very offensive friendly. They got the quarterback, Mike White. He's had a tremendous season, as you would expect. In that offensive system, you got to figure their coach Brom is going to be up for. He'll get a nice job at some point. I don't know if it's this year, but that's a guy that these group of five teams should. These power five teams should definitely be looking at with his offensive prowess, that system. So we'll just look for them to continue to do what they do. That's not to say they're not going to give up a lot of points in this game. Louisiana Tech can certainly score too, and they've been beating up on the weak Conference USA teams as well, but I think at home, Western Kentucky is just on a little bit of another level. The over-under in this game is 82, so it tells you a lot of points are going to be scored here. You know, we'll call this 51-40 or something like that. Western Kentucky will take this one. So we'll go with them -10 for the second game, in addition to Colorado +7.5 for championship weekend.
Thanks for the picks, John. All right, and we'll take a look at Conference USA action for our panel this weekend as well. I forgot all about Western Kentucky, so it's good to hear that their offense is once again rolling binking and booming, as we would say in the Mikey Francesa universe. So now to Tom in New Jersey. It's now your pitch for the Week 14 college picks. All right, Tom, it's all yours.
A lot of checker on a checker. I just looked at the spreads again, hoping that I could pick another game. But you know what? I know the instant I pick against Dave, Dave will get the pick right. So I'm going with it. I'm going with Navy. I want the chaos. I agree with Checker. Western Michigan deserves to be in there, but it's not going to happen. Give me Navy, -3. And then the big marquee game. Well, not really. I am going to be watching the Big Ten game, and I'm going to have Diane telling me the whole time, what the hell are you doing? And I'm just going to be mumbling underneath my breath saying, I don't know. Let's go out. No, I have to watch this. Let's go out. No, I can't. Let's go out. No. Let's go out. Okay, let's go. That's what's going to happen. By halftime, I'm not going to be watching anymore because it's going to be 9-6. Penn State or Wisconsin. I'm just going to be wondering what the hell I'm doing with my life. Like Andy said, no one's going to want to watch that game. It's just hideous football. I can't believe I'm going to be watching it, but I probably will because I probably have money on Wisconsin. That's how much I hate Penn State now after 2 weeks of hearing nonstop calls. I'm like,
Why can't Penn State get in the playoffs? Come on, Mike. They're a good program. They've been through a lot.
No, they don't deserve to be in the playoffs. And I'm sick of Penn State. I've been sick of Penn State for years, ever since Sandusky destroyed my favorite radio show. That had to be 3 weeks of Sandusky talk. And I can't get this 3 weeks back. But for my picks again, I'm taking Navy, -3, and I'm taking Wisconsin with that, -3 as well.
Oh, we have -2.5 since Andy did.
All right, 2.5 is good. Two and a half.
Okay, thanks for the picks, Tom. And we will see about these results. Yeah, I mean, conference championships, there are not very many games on the schedule, so... These outcomes are usually what happens, but I'm glad we pick them anyway, though, because they'll make these games much more fun to watch. So now let's get to the end.
Dave, one more thing. I'm shocked you didn't pick Florida over Alabama, considering how high the spread is, since you love taking the points when it's like 20, what is it, 24? I'm shocked you didn't take Florida. I'm shocked you didn't take Florida there.
Yeah, I know. I think it finally came to my senses on that. I've just one bad point spread blown after another, trying to think, oh, maybe this team will cover. Mississippi State was my last attempt at it against Bama. I am not touching Bama the rest of the season. I swear to God. For or against. I'm just like, no way. I'm out of that kitchen. So, so yeah, I mean, it all started week one. Remember that? I had Bowling Green and they freaking lost like 78-0 or something.
who were they playing? Were they playing Alabama? I know they were playing the Marquette.
They were playing Ohio State, and Ohio State completely shut them out almost. So
I remember texting you at halftime and laughing about it.
Oh God. That one I'll never live down, man. I was so confident about that too. Ah, Bowling Green, they're gonna keep it close. And Bowling Green fired their coach or something. No, maybe they didn't fire their coach, but couldn't fire a coach in their first year. That would be kind of stupid. But yeah, Bowling Green is terrible. I mean, I had no idea. So anyway, let's get to the NFL scenarios and more excitement from the NFL. I mean, the league is certainly showing some pretty interesting action. Thanksgiving football is great. I mean, the Minnesota Lions game. That game went down all the way to the end, and the Lions won on a field goal. Then you had the Redskins-Cowboys at Arlington. Very good game there, too. Went back and forth. I mean, I don't think the Cowboys ever really gave up the lead. Maybe they did. Again, I was on vacation, so I only got to see like one quarter of the game. But it was kind of interesting watching it on East Coast time, too. Like, the game, it was all dark already. It was only halftime. It was kind of an unusual spot for yours truly. But... good game there. Good weekend games. You had a crazy finish in the Sunday Night Football game where the Chiefs somehow, some way, won the game on a doink in overtime. Which otherwise, if they missed that field goal, if Santos misses that field goal, that's a tie. I think that's a tie game. So, wow, just crazy. So let's now give it back to the panel to recap last week's action. We start with Andy in Seattle. Andy, your look at last week in the NFL.
Yeah, great weekend. As Mike Francesa said, level 3 of the NFL season starts Thanksgiving, and the Lions-Vikings game, low scoring, but, I mean, these Lions, I don't think they're great. I don't even know if you can make a case that they're that good, but in the fourth quarter, Caldwell has an aversion from getting tight. He's going to get tight at some point. He has to. He's Caldwell. But they just put on this persona under 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter and just pull these games out of their fannies. Stafford, I heard this theory, and he might have a point, Michael Lombardi. He says, no more Calvin Johnson. So now Stafford, when you have these like receivers that are just so great, you almost have to feed the beast. And that with no Calvin Johnson, now Stafford, maybe even more of a quarterback per se, because he spreads it around, whereas in the past he was just kind of forcing it to the beast. And now he's spreading it around to these other guys like Golden Tate or whatever. And then you know, freaking Bradford all day long just doing safe dinks and dunks, like 2 yard dinks and dunks. And then one time he does something stupid and then the game's over. I mean, he threw that pick and all of a sudden Detroit only needs to go, you know, move the chains a little bit and good night the lights. Jim Nance can go back and eat his turkey. And then obviously the aforementioned Redskins Dallas game, I didn't get to see too much of that either. I was doing the Thanksgiving meal. And then Pittsburgh, Indianapolis put America to sleep. You know, no luck in that game. That was a little bit of a detriment. I thought Sunday's slate was really entertaining. That Sunday night game was a classic, great gambling game. No matter, you know, we were on the short end of the stick with Denver. Once you saw them go up 8, you're like, they're going to do, there's no way Alex Smith is going to lead them down the field, but he did. That's gambling. That's the crazy Sunday night game. You know, that first half was like a just 3 yards in a cloud of dust, defense. So many punts in the first quarter. And then the second half, the offensive just kind of had their show and it opened up. And then overtime had its own share of drama. The Cardinals are a disaster. Bruce Arians is overrated. Carson Palmer has regressed. The Texans versus Yates' team. I mean, Brock Osweiler is a complete clown. A 12 touchdowns, 13 interception ratio this year. They're just an atrocious franchise. That AFC South is going to be funny to see who ends up winning. Personally, I'd like to see Tennessee get that spot. I think they're the most fun team to watch from an offensive standpoint, but their secondary is just atrocious. A shout out to John for calling the fact that Green Bay's defense, although bad, see, Philadelphia is not a team that throws vertically, so that almost like neutralizes how bad Green Bay's secondary is because Wentz is just kind of dinking and dunking. So, you know, and Rodgers had an amazing game. So all of a sudden, if Green Bay beats Houston on Sunday, the CBS Nance and Sims game, then all of a sudden Green Bay has some life. Now all of a sudden Tampa Bay has life. Tampa Bay's been a weird team this year. You know, they beat Atlanta, and then they lose. They beat Atlanta, I think, to start the year. Then they lay an egg against Atlanta on Thursday night. They're just a hard team to figure out. Now all of a sudden, they're in the mix a little bit in the NFC South. I can't get into the AFC North, you know, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, just ugh, poo. Sorry, Dave. And what else was I going to say? One more little point. Riverboat Ron versus Spicy Jack Del Rio was just an amazing game. I short end of the stick there, too. I had Spicy, but it's funny because Spicy, that Texas Raider game to end level 2 of the NFL year on Monday night. If you had the Raiders, you were kind of lucky because they won by, I think they won by 7 and the line was 6.5. And then if you had Spicy again, against Riverboat on Sunday to start level 3, you know, you saw the game. They had that huge lead. And then I think Carolina scored, 25 unanswered points. And then the Raiders, they won by 3, they're getting 3.5. But, you know, the Raiders have been a fun team this year. If there's any sort of, like, number one storyline, you have a case to put them up there. And they have another entertaining matchup with with Spicy versus Rex Ryan this week will be good. So just a fun Thanksgiving weekend. You know, it's a course correction. There were so many bad games this year, and the Thursday night games continue to be, you know, for the most part, pretty crappy. Maybe we'll see a decent game this week with Dallas and Minnesota, but Thanksgiving weekend, we got to see some pretty entertaining action all the way through.
I remember you saying something about also another team that was also on a roll, the Miami Dolphins, and they continued it this week against the Niners, although that game got pretty close. I understand that Kaepernick was actually at the goal line practically, almost pulled it off for San Francisco to get them a very rare win. Interestingly about the Niners, I mean, Kaepernick has definitely added some spark to that team, but they haven't won any of their games. Like, he's played great, but they're still losing. So it just goes to show their defense just isn't that good. But, man, you called it on the Dolphins to a degree. I mean, the Dolphins are rolling. They are rolling right now. And they spent a lot of time on the West Coast, too, this year, although the last game was actually at home in Miami. So up next at the Ravens, if they could beat them, that's 7 in a row. They seem to be well on their way to the playoffs, and I think this would be their first playoff berth. Correct me if I'm wrong. The first playoff berth in 16 years. So that's a long time to go without a playoffs. So kudos to them if they make it. So that's a pretty good spot. Okay, let's go back to John in Connecticut for his recap of NFL action.
Yeah, Andy did a nice job there. Yeah, Thanksgiving, you had Sam Bradford. I mean, everyone's praising him. Oh, look at that completion percentage. He's throwing freaking 3 yards a pass. I mean, I could go 75% completion percentage if I just took the snap and just threw it to the first guy I saw. I mean, it was affected there for a little bit. You know, they had the lead. But again, the Lions, with their magic in the fourth quarter, it's an amazing stat. The Lions have played 11 games, and they trailed in the fourth quarter in all 11 games, and somehow they're 7-4. You know, Stafford's just had this magic, especially at home, to, you know, pull it out, and, you know, got to give him credit for those two-minute drives, and they did it again after the Bradford mistake. And it really sets up, if you look at the schedules between the three teams, the Vikings, Lions, and yes, I'll include the Packers, who I guess you could say save their season on Monday night. I don't know. I will see if they beat Houston, and they'll really be back in the mix, but we'll just assume that they win. It's a very good possibility that Packers at Lions, week 17, will be for the division title, and that'll probably be your NBC Flex game, too. If, the Lions have three very hard road games. They play at the Saints this week, then they play at Dallas and at the Giants later on this month before the Packers game. So I definitely think, you know, the way things have been trending, that'll be your week 17 Flex game. But we'll see about a football to hopefully play there. The Cowboys continue to impress. I was actually more impressed with Kirk Cousins, you know, in that game. I mean, this guy has turned into, I mean, do I want to say one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL? I don't know if I want to go that far. But, again, 400 yards passing, three touchdowns. I mean, this, you know, he's just playing great football. I mean, they did have to play a little bit from behind. I guess those numbers are a little bit inflated. But whatever the Cowboys, you know, took a lead, and the Redskins came right back, and you know, the Cowboys held them off, and Dak Prescott continues to play well. You know, and every time the Redskins got close, the Cowboys just kind of extended their lead, and that's what they have to do, and they're on their way to the number one seed, because Seattle lays an egg in Tampa, which I don't know if anyone could really see that one coming, especially how Seattle had been. But Seattle is weird in that they had these games where, you know, their offensive line, we all know it's not very good, but they just completely just don't even show up. And Wilson, just, they couldn't do anything on Sunday. And watching how they'll go out this weekend against Carolina, and they'll look dominant again. So it's a very, very hard team to figure, the Seahawks, which makes for some interesting projections versus the spread. And that Panthers-Raiders game was fun. Very lucky there if you had the Raiders -3 coming back to get the push. How about the Rams and Saints? Asquam, Breeze, and Peyton, they clearly had a revenge angle there against Greg Williams. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the highlights, but they're up like four touchdowns, and they're throwing like double reverse passes down the field. I mean, I wish I had kind of thought about that before. You know, you kind of just look at the schedule and you don't go individually in to match up game by game, but they were clearly out to run off the score on that one. That was an interesting game there. And then the Sunday night game, as Andy mentioned, you didn't think Alex Smith had it in him, but it's just funny how, you know, he's like, just they don't throw a pass behind the line, they IM 10 yards the line of scrimmage. Then all of a sudden, you know, here they go down the field when they have to. And, you know, give them credit. They made the clutch plays in a very hostile environment against a great defense. And, They win the game, and they get to 8-3, and, you know, who knows? The Raiders still have to play all three teams in the division on the road. So that division is far from over. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. And the Broncos are in danger of, I guess, missing the playoffs now. They're tied with the Dolphins, who, like you mentioned, Dave, are on a roll. And that last wild card spot in the AFC will certainly be a very close race as we head down the stretch. So another good weekend of action. And as you would expect, as these teams are pretty much fighting for their lives at this point. I mean, every game is, they're all so bunched, and it'll be exciting the last 5 weeks of the season.
It has been this month very exciting, and as you say, it shall be very exciting down the stretch. And it's not just, you know, teams have been getting on a roll, they've been getting hot, and they've been fun to watch too. So I think there's a lot going for the NFL lately. So good for them, because it was looking pretty rough in the beginning of the year. Chargers are still hanging around. They had the win against the Texans, and they got to take care of business against Tampa Bay. They got a game against the woebegone Panthers coming up, rematch with the Raiders. But you know what, John? You know that rematch of the Raiders-Chiefs game? That is going to be interesting. You may remember the Chiefs came in off a bye week and rolled the Raiders. I wonder if the Raiders will return the favor at Arrowhead. That'll be a good watch. It'll be a good watch. So we'll see about that. Let's go to Tom in New Jersey for his recap of last week's NFL action.
Well, Thanksgiving was a very exciting day, as it usually is, with the last game usually being the most boring of the three, and that was the case this year. I was really impressed with Dallas, and as John said, I was really impressed with Kirk Cousins. I loved how all the Redskins fans and everybody was saying how Kirk Cousins in the first couple of weeks wasn't playing well, and should they have given him the franchise tag. And as John said, he has been playing like a top five quarterback this year, as has Matthew Stafford, who has not thrown the interceptions. And as Lombardi said, as Andy had said, he doesn't have Calvin Johnson to throw to constantly, so that's probably why he's not throwing as many picks. And that's also why Jay Cutler is kind of dangerous, and he was kind of dangerous to get to the Giants. And it was just a very interesting week. On Sunday night, I was screaming for Kubiak to go for two there. A 7-point game? You get it to 9, and the game is over. You staying at 7.
Yeah, but Pete Carroll did that, and everyone was like, what the fuck's Pete Carroll doing?
You have to know, but if you get to 9, the game is over. You always do that. I don't get why more coaches don't do that. Getting to 8 is not that big of a deal compared to 9. 9 is 2 possessions. The game's over if you convert it. It's, what is it, 56% of conversions on 2-point conversions? You take that chance with the percentages. I don't get why more coaches don't think that way. The game is over if it gets to 9. Of course, he goes to 8, and of course they go down the field, get the 2-point conversion tied. But I did agree with him that he should have kicked the field goal there at 62 yards. But now it's going to bite him in the ass, because he's going to wish he had that tie. Because he's part of their, I don't think, for some reason, I have a funny feeling Denver's not making the playoffs. I haven't looked at their schedule, remaining schedule. Maybe it's easy, maybe it's not. John can tell me that, or Andy can tell me that, but I have a funny feeling that Denver is not getting the playoffs.
Go ahead.
Dallas is very, very impressive. Interesting game this week against Minnesota with their great defense, but Dallas seems to be getting a lot of breaks. Obviously they have to keep the time of possession this week, but we're sticking with last week analysis. I'll keep that for later when we do our picks. But it was a very, very interesting week of football. I wish I had bet this past week. I think I would have won some money. I think Andy won some money. I'm not sure how John did, but I wish I'd made some bets this past weekend, because I would have won some money. But this week I'd probably be making some bets, and I'd probably be losing money. So that's the way it works.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have your ups and you have your downs when it comes to these selections. So I want to go back to your point about the going for two when you're up 7 points, because When it happened a week earlier, as Andy mentioned on the Sunday night game with Seattle and New England, it was an interesting call, and I thought, you know, I didn't think it was such a bad an idea. Like, you know, you're still up 7 if you don't get it, but if you do get it, it's 9 points, and the game is basically done. So I didn't think it was a terrible idea, but then I went on Twitter, and it was like, people were just ripping the guy. Like, how could you go for 9? I could go for 2. Well, you'd be up by 8 already, da 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 da. And then the
people are stupid, Dave.
Well, let's get it. But let's see where John. John, did you? Where were you on that decision? Did you think that was a good call, or was it? Where were you when it happened in the Seattle game, and then also in Denver?
I'll admit, I was against it with Pete Carroll doing it. I don't know. I just feel like it's an unnecessary risk. Like, if your defense is good enough to hold them, if you think your defense is good enough to hold them, you know, with an eight point lead, then what's the difference with the 7? And you just leave yourself, you know, out to more a higher chance of losing the game if you don't get it. I don't know. I just didn't feel like it's worth the risk. I don't know. Maybe I'd feel different if it was like my team, or if I was like coaching the game. I don't know. I just didn't feel like the risk was, you know, outweighs the reward in that scenario. As far as Kubiak, I do not think he should have kicked the field goal. I wanted him to go for it in that spot on 4th and 10. I think you have a higher chance of completing a pass there to get a first down, as opposed to the kicking the field goal is the last thing I would have done, because that had no chance. I mean, either I'm going to go for, you know, I'm going to punt and play for the tie, which clearly, you know, he said he wants to win the game, whatever. Okay. Well, if you want to win the game, I think you got to go for it there on 4th and 10 and not try a field goal that had literally, you know, no chance. I mean, 64 yards, and I know Denver's in the altitude, but it's a cold night and the ball's not going to go as far. So in that scenario, I definitely wanted him to go for it. As far as the up, you know, going for it, the 2 points to go up 9, I'm going to be old school and say kick the extra point to go up 8, and, you know, trust your defense in that spot.
Yeah, that's an interesting decision. I'll admit, and I think there are certainly, in this case, you have arguments for both sides, because it's like you have a lot of leverage either way. Like, you're up 7, so the worst case scenario out of everything, you're tied if somebody goes down the field and scores a touchdown. So there are definitely arguments for both sides. So that's why I wasn't really killing it at the time, because I was like, yeah, I mean, you could kind of see that. And then you can kind of see you not doing it, as John pointed out just a moment ago. So definitely brings about a lot of banter, I think. All right, so now let's get to this week's picks. We go to the NFL picks, and again, we go to Ron in New Jersey, who had a nice week last week. He went 3-1.
He went 3-1.
What was that? Hello?
Hello?
Am I listening to myself?
Listening to myself?
How did that happen? Andy, are you with us?
Andy, are you with us?
I'm right here.
Okay, good. John, are you with us?
John, are you with us?
I'm here.
What is the ghost of Dave Medina doing on this program?
There's so much echo.
So much echo.
I don't know what that is.
That's so weird.
Okay.
That's so weird.
All right. Hang on. Okay, let's do this. Okay. How's that? Better? Okay. I don't know why that didn't work, but here we go. Let's go ahead and we're back online. We've got everything in order. Let's go to the pick. So, again, Ron in New Jersey had the best week last week. He went 3-1. Now we go to the – now we take a look at what he has for week number 13 in the NFL. Here we go. Game number 1 in the NFL from Ron in New Jersey is Raiders -3 against the Bills. Game number 2 is Colts -1.5 at the Jets. And so there you go, Ron in New Jersey's week 13 NFL picks. You know, I noticed that the Bills are starting to get a little bit closer to 500. And they've also spent a really long time in California. Like, it's just kind of funny. Like, they play, like, all the teams out here. So, it's interesting. I mean, if it were up to me, I really hope the Raiders win by, like, 30. But every time I think the Bills are going to lose, they end up coming out there and winning. So it's a frustrating team to watch because like you want them to lose, they don't lose. You want them to win, and they can't win. So it's just all over the place. So anyway, here's my picks for week number 13. Forgive my rant. Let's go. All right. Week 13. We begin with the Lions. And, you know, John, you're right. This is going to be a pretty tough assignment for the Lions to go out to the Saints. But I still think that the point spread's too big. I mean, the Saints giving 6 points. They're not even at 500 yet. They're 5-6. So the Cardiac Lions, I think, will keep this one close too. So we'll go Lions getting the 6 points at the Superdome. Game number two will be tomorrow night's game. Another pretty good matchup. The Vikings against the Cowboys. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to call the upset here. I'm going to go Vikings. Not only +3 for the purpose of this program, but I'm going to call them for the outright win against the Cowboys. And the reason I think I'm going to go that way is because their defensive line might be the one defensive line that can break that really good Cowboys offensive line. So that yields a very interesting situation. What will happen when Dak Prescott is pressured? Things could get very different for the rookie here on Thursday night. Now, the Vikings have the game at home. It'll be on Thursday. This will be the first good Thursday night game in weeks. I kind of like the Vikings to win it. But call me crazy, but I think the Cowboys may just come out flat. I think the Vikings will put a lot of pressure on them. I realize the offense is going to be a problem, but I think they'll have some way to win that game. So we'll go with the Vikes to win. Money line, but officially +3. So again, Lions +6, Vikings +3, week 13 NFL picks. All right, that's all from me. Let's go ahead and go to Andy in Seattle as we get your week number 13 picks. Andy, all yours.
All right, thanks. Game number one, I'm going to take Atlanta giving 3.5. I think it's 3.5 when I saw it. I'm going to take Atlanta giving 3.5 to the Chiefs. I think I've only won one bet with the Chiefs involvement scenario, and that was when they played Tampa. I took Tampa. You know, I took the Chiefs against Akron early in the year, and they let Akron hang around. Take Riverboat against the Chiefs about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and Carolina up 17-0 can't freaking close the book on Kansas City. And we take Denver last week against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs did what they did, as we discussed at the end of regulation. So more times than not, whenever there's a wager involving the Chiefs this year, we just usually end up on the wrong side of the argument. So as a glutton for punishment, we will do something similar again, and we will take a game involving the Kansas City Chiefs, and this current edition, we will bet against them. I think having them go to Atlanta might be a tough test for them. Atlanta is coming off just an offensive show, a brilliant show against Arizona. Granted, Arizona laid down. You know, they did not deal with any sort of no moxie with an adversity scenario. But Atlanta, they got weapons. I think they beat the Raiders earlier this year. They've got a pretty good resume. They beat some good teams. Unlike a team like the Giants. The Giants' resume is just they are the product of their schedule. All credit to them, but I mean, you cannot get excited over the Giants' wins against teams like the Rams and the Ravens and the Browns. I'm sorry. Maybe they'll turn it around and have a good win against Pittsburgh this year. But why am I talking about the Giants? Let's talk about the Falcons. Give me the Falcons. I think they're just going to have too much offense for Kansas City. Anyone that watches Kansas City knows that Alex Smith coming down against the Bronco defense, second and 17 with under 2 minutes left, and he was able to get the job done. And more times than not, that's not going to happen. And they're going to settle for red zone field goals. And just, you're not going to be able to do that and expect to win on the road against, I don't like Matt Ice, but he's taken a step forward this year. Julio Jones is one of the maybe the best wide receiver in the game. So, and then he's got complimentary receivers as well. Sanu, for example. Just too much offense for Kansas City this week. Give me Atlanta -3.5 for game number one. Game number two, checker on a checker. A little worried about this game, but I'm going to take Spicy Jack Del Rio over Rex Ryan, giving 3. I am not a Derek Carr fan, but I respect his ability to get the ball to Amari Cooper and Crabtree, and Murray's a good running back. I don't know much about their secondary, but I know, you know, Mac's a great defender. I can see Tyrod Taylor and McCoy giving that defense some headaches, but when all is said and done, I think the Ryan brother tandem will find a way to screw it up, and we'll see the swagger of Spicy Jack Del Rio waving that sword, waving that stick all day long, and putting an end to Buffalo's, technically they are in a wild card hunt. They played some entertaining games this year, don't get me wrong. That Seattle game was a lot of fun, and they beat New England with Jacoby Brissett in the mix. But having them come out to California, not a good recipe. Give me Spicy Jack giving 3 for game number two to match up with Atlanta giving 3.5 for game number one.
All right, thanks for the picks, Andy. The Bills are... It's true, they did have a good game against Seattle. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, so pretty good. Let's go to John in Connecticut now for your week number 13 NFL picks, John. All yours.
All right, we'll start here. This game is pretty ugly, but I felt like the line was a little bit off in this one. I'm going to take Cincinnati getting 1 at home against Philadelphia. I feel like the odds makers have been... overvaluing the Eagles all year. I'm not quite sure I understand this line. So they're saying that the Eagles would be -7 at home against the Bengals. Now, the Bengals aren't a very good team. I get that. I mean, they've had an extremely disappointing season. A.J. Green is now hurt. I mean, Dalton hasn't played great. But still, I mean, they're a fairly talented team. And, you know, I just don't understand the respect for the Eagles that, you know, Wentz had a great start to the year, but as we've seen over the last month and a half or so, his plays regressed. They have, like, no wide receivers. They're down 3 guys on the offensive line for Monday night, and yet they're still favored on the road. I mean, maybe this is a trap, but I thought this line was going to be, like, your standard Bengals -3, and yet you're getting a point at home. This game will be quite ugly. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, this will be, you know, close, low-scoring, ugly, whatever, but I think there's value in the line here, and we'll take Cincinnati getting the point at home against Philadelphia. Game two, and this game, I might regret this pick, but we're going to believe with P-Dot and Kim Jones and Du, and we're going to take the Giants getting 6 in Pittsburgh. this could be scary. It's going to be like, what, you know, from 40 to 10 Steelers by Sunday. But, I mean, you can't deny with how the Giants' defense has been playing. And, yes, I get it. I mean, they've played some hideous offenses in their 6-game winning streak, but they're really getting a good pass rush. Eli has been making like those typical Eli mistakes that you've seen from him over the previous years, and you know they're playing good football. I don't think the Steelers are an unbelievable team. I mean, I know at home they can really, really score a ton of points, which is what worries you a little bit here. But I think the Giants have enough offensive weapons to keep up. Beckham's starting to come on now. They're really kind of force-feeding him the ball, which is what you have to do. I mean, he's the focal point of the offense. And I could just see him and Antonio Brown both, you know, kind of going tit-for-tat, putting up a show here. And, again, I mean, when I was just kind of thinking of what the line would be for this game, I thought, okay, well, I mean, maybe Pittsburgh -3 or -4, and you're getting a couple extra points here. I could easily see a scenario, you know, Pittsburgh up, you know, 35-23 late in the game, and you have Manning just throwing it all over the field and getting a backdoor cover. In this scenario, I'll take the team getting the points, and we'll take the Giants +6 in Pittsburgh for game 1, for game 2.
in addition to Cincinnati plus one against the Eagles for game number one.
All right. Thanks for the picks, John. Believing in the magic of the blue, I will find that with good interest as we see them take on my Steelers in the Steel City. More fun to come, perhaps, but we'll see. I mean, the Steelers are such a sloppy team. Honestly, at this point, nothing would surprise me with them. So I'll just have to watch and see the outcome for myself. Is that game going to be like the number one game too? Because the Giants always freaking get Buck and Aikman somehow. Like they seem to get them a lot. So
yeah, I think that's the Buck and Aikman game this week. I don't imagine that they're going to be in. What was the other Redskins, Cardinals? It's the other 4:25 game. So right. I think that's what we're going to get.
Okay. So let's now go to Tom in New Jersey, who is a Giant fan. I wonder if he picked the game. We'll find out in a minute. Tom, all yours for the week. When I pick up my pen, week 13 picks, all yours.
Aikman hates the Giants.
Exactly.
Can't wait to read that on Twitter on Sunday.
Exactly.
God. But a couple thoughts. I'm tired. I'm just going to make my picks. Game number one, I'm going to take the Patriots. I know they're begging you. They're begging you to take the points. It's a lot of points, but I'm not going to. I'm not falling for that trap. Is it 12.5 or 13.5? I'm going to need confirmation on that.
Give me a sec here. I'll go look it up. Let's see. I have it. I'm seeing 13.5. We'll just keep...
Yeah, I think you're right. I just read it. It's 13.5. Rookie quarterback on the road at New England. I'll take New England every time. I know it's a ton of points. I know they're begging you to take. Plus 13.5. I'm not going to. I'm taking New England. They never let me down. It's a big point spread, so I'm going there. Game number two, going against Dave. I think Dallas will run enough to keep the time of possession, and I don't think Minnesota's offense is any good to exploit Dallas' weak defense. Bradford stinks. I still can't believe they gave up a first-round pick for him. It looked good at first, but doesn't look good right now. They can't wait to get Peterson back, but he's not coming back this week. So give me Dallas -3.
Okay, thanks for the picks, Tommy. Yeah, sorry about the time tonight. I'm not really sure what happened. I think I'm still in vacation mode, losing track of the clock. So let's just wrap it up here, fellas. Any final thoughts from you, Andy and John? We'll start with Andy as we wrap it up tonight. And try to keep warm, as it's pretty cold just about everywhere in the country. Andy, your thoughts first. Final thoughts.
Just had a wonderful time on the show. I hope everybody finds a way to make it rise this weekend. And it's getting nitty-gritty time, so enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. This has been a fun contest this year. We've had some nice rebounds, too, as the season's gone along. Like, we've got some people on a roll. They finally had a winning week. That's good news, so good stuff there, too. Did your NFL plays do better this time around, like the last 2 weeks?
Last week Green Bay saved the week positive units, and I think the week before Thanksgiving, I ended up on the positive scenario too. So yeah, we just try to chip away and not do anything too stupid, which is easier said than done, of course.
Right on. Okay, John in Connecticut, final thoughts tonight.
Yeah, I mean, can we believe it? It's the final weekend of the college football season, regular season anyway, which is kind of sad. It feels like we were just, talking about September 1st, the games, but here we are. Should be a fun weekend. We'll see how the playoff rankings and the bowl matchups look for our next show, and we'll go from there. And then the NFL races will really start to heat up. So great time of the year for football, and certainly looking forward to all the games this weekend.
Yeah, I've had fun covering these games with you guys all year long. It's a bummer that college football is almost over. And it's just one of my favorite things to look forward to every year. So But we're not done yet. We still have these conference championships and the bowls. So good stuff to come and the playoff. And now we go to Tom in New Jersey for any additional thoughts as we close it up tonight. Thanks for coming on again, Tom. We appreciate you being with us. So we hope for good things in this weekend's picks. But your
hopefully final hopefully I come on once more before the season's over. Hopefully I go 4-0 this weekend. I'll take 2-2 at this point, though.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the Giants do well. I'm not expecting it. I really don't think they're going to be able to run the ball enough to keep it close. But we're hoping Jennings and Perkins have good games because Pittsburgh's going to be daring the Giants to run the entire game. Hopefully it happens. Hopefully the Giants find a way to win. Hopefully I'm wrong and Dallas loses, but I think Dallas will win. I think it's going to be a good week of football. A lot of good games to bet on. So hope everybody has fun watching.
Yeah, likewise for me. And again, as I said, stay warm, everyone, wherever you are. And that's all for now. So take care, guys. Good luck to the picks, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody. Thanks, everyone.
All right, good luck, everyone. Good times.
All right, good luck.
All right, fellas. And that's our program tonight. Thank you very much for coming back with us tonight on the program. Good to cover football with all of you. So if you enjoy this program, please tell your friend about the Dave in the City Experience. Dig Cow Podcast is a lot of good stuff just like this. And we don't do hot takes like they do on ESPN. Remember that. And once you tell that friend, tell another friend. And then let them tell a friend. We'll see you next time!